This episode is brought to you by Fetch. Fetch is a kennel alternative right here in Denver, not a traditional doggy daycare or boarding school. They offer one-on-one private pet care for all kinds of pets, both furry and non-furry. And their employees are experienced, insured, bonded, and background checked, so you can rest easy knowing your pet is in good hands. Basically, they know pets. I used to watch a Burmese mountain dog named Sven, who was just like walking a polar bear. It was insane. Fetch offers pet sitting, dog walking, pet taxi, medication administration, and more. And he hated going on walks. I could like walk him around the block and then he was like, he just like to lay in the bathtub. So if you're looking for high quality pet care you can trust, check out Fetch at northdenver.fetchpetcare.com. That's northdenver.fetchpetcare.com. Today on CityCast Denver. Which local sports team is so bad, they're getting in trouble with the Federal Aviation Administration? Me and producer Paul Caroli are talking about the Rockies' latest PR debacle, plus the local startup going to the moon, a new law cracking down on discriminatory evictions, and all the other local stories that matter right now. Today is Tuesday, April 23rd. I'm Bree Davies, and here's what Denver's talking about. Hi, Paul.
Hey, good morning, Bree.
There's a story that really caught your eye that you have been dying to tell me about that you wouldn't let me research.
Sure, yeah. Let's get right into it.
You wanted it to be a surprise?
Yeah. I was so shocked you hadn't already seen it. But then I remembered you're not on X anymore.
No, I'm not.
Oh, this was a moment on X on Friday that was very fun.
That makes me miss Twitter, but not that much. I don't miss people sending me death threats and stuff.
It's the good and the bad.
Well, what happened?
Okay, so the whole city is excited about the Nuggets and the Avalanche, right? Going to the playoffs, same weekend. Yeah. They both look great. You know, the Nuggets definitely.
The Nuggets crushed it, kept it competitive this weekend, but still made a fool out of LeBron, which I love. Mm-hmm. MPJ had a great game, and he's had a real tough personal week. Yes, he's had a tough personal week, and his teammates rallied around him. It was a beautiful chef's kiss of a first game of the playoffs.
Yeah, I hope game two goes as well. Listeners, I think, will have heard that by the time they hear this.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So let's not jinx that.
Okay, okay.
We should maybe stop talking about it. Anyway, okay, so then, yeah, people are excited about the Nuggets. People are excited about the Avalanche. You know, we don't have to talk about what happened there on Sunday night. But Rockies fans had their own moment, and that's what happened on Friday. A video goes, there's 2.2 million views on this right now.
Really?
This is Rockies hitting coach Hensley Mullins. Mm. This is according to a Wall Street Journal report. Here he is.
Oh.
And where is he?
Is he on a plane?
He's in the cockpit.
Oh.
Of a plane in flight.
Oh.
On its way to Canada.
Oh.
He's wearing a nice purple suit, purple shaded sunglasses.
Oh. He's a Rockies guy.
Shall we watch?
Yeah, let's do it. Oh, boy.
He's just like, yeah, I'm flying the plane.
I'm terrified for the passengers.
Yeah.
Is that Russell Wilson?
No, I think that's the captain.
Oh, I was like, this is getting weird.
So relax.
Okay, we're really relaxed.
Have you ever heard of anything like this happening before?
Only on like a sitcom. It's like a joke, right?
That a passenger might go sit in the cockpit.
My son sat in the cockpit once on his first, no, not his first
wait,
flight.
Wait, wait, wait. Here's the best part coming up.
Are we on the mission? And what'd you do?
What?
I love that right at the end when I think it's one of the hostesses or the stewardesses who's filming this and like laughing along and asking him questions as he's, oh, you're flying the plane? Ha ha ha. Nervously. Ha ha ha. And he's like, yeah, I'm flying the plane, pretending to veer it off course.
This seems like the worst PR of all time.
Oh, I mean, other than their performance on the field?
I mean, for the airplane company, whoever it was, as well as the Rockies, because that feels like Six Sad World level,
mm-hmm.
like, Oh my goodness.
And at the end where the stewardess is like, oh, wait a second. Did you do something wrong there? Did you flip something? It's like, oh my, how does anyone think this is a good idea?
Well, they don't, which is like how these videos get made.
Yeah. I mean, for a while they did. For a while they were clearly just like enjoying themselves, because Mullins wrote when he posted this to social media himself. That's how this got out there. He said, had some fun in the cockpit on our flight from Denver to Toronto. Thanks to the captain and the first officer of our United Charter that allowed me this great experience. He's proud of it.
He put it on Front Street.
Of course, United then has to respond. Yeah. United spokesperson Russell Carlton said in an emailed statement to the Denver Post, we're deeply disturbed by what we see in that video, which appears to show an unauthorized person in the flight deck at cruise altitude while the autopilot was engaged. Yeah, I'll say that's deeply disturbing. I'll say.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yikes.
So that's not looking good for the Rockies.
And I mean, what looks good for the Rockies? Yeah.
And
really?
It gets even worse, honestly, because then the FAA starts an investigation.
Holy cow.
So this is like actually a serious problem, apparently. Or maybe it could be.
Oh my gosh. It's just like that split second, those moments where you don't think about what you're doing, right? And we've had these moments throughout our whole lives where you make that big mistake where you're like, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. Whatever. But in this era of social media where we're just constantly bragging about every possible thing that could make us cool, which is like, why else would you post that? I'm not dogging him for that. I would have probably done the same thing. You're not thinking, this is a really bad PR move for everyone involved.
Yeah. This looks irresponsible.
And dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine being on that flight. I would be like,
I have no idea.
Also, the state of flying is like not making people feel great.
That's what I want to talk about next.
Okay.
Because I made a connection here, and I don't think I'm too like conspiracy theory minded to think this is so weird. But so the FAA is investigating the Rockies after this incident, and my mind starts thinking, wait a second, weren't we just talking about this like 2 weeks ago? DIA Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg was in town.
You're right.
Announcing a new initiative with our attorney general, our state attorney general, Phil Weiser, where they are now, they're streamlining consumer complaints in a new effort to protect customers on airlines.
Oh,
you know, as we came out of the pandemic, we saw a surge in passenger demand and then an explosion in complaints. Even during the pandemic, though air traffic and passenger numbers were lower, complaints were higher because you had so many cancellations going on. Then we saw the demand recover, and we saw these issues with cancellations and delays. That performance has improved. We still see just an enormous volume of passenger complaints. And that's why it's so important for us to have allies and resources to augment that small but mighty federal team that handles all of that.
So I think you can see where I'm going with this.
Here's a great example of what someone might send a complaint in.
There might be a complaint about this.
Oh my
particular
goodness.
Incident. Anyway, is this the beginning of the turnaround for the Rockies, you know, or is this investigation going to lead to some change in the front office, perhaps?
No.
Maybe some better decision makers come in there?
His last name isn't Monfort, so no. I mean, I wish him the best of luck. I hope he still has a job.
Maybe
he does. Gracious.
Maybe he won't by the time people will hear this. But anyway, that's what's up with the Rockies. Onto another big season at Coors Field.
Best of luck, y'all. This is making me think, though, are people fans of the Rockies or are people fans of Coors Field, really?
Yeah.
When it comes down to
truly.
And they have good colors, right? Purple. Purple looks good on a lot
of
people.
Some of the best.
I don't know. Anyway, okay. Well, we'll be following that story.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. We're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Shall we move on to more news?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Let's do it.
It's time for another installment of Landlord Watch.
Man.
We're going to call this Legislation Edition.
Yes.
Because Governor Polis signed a bill into law last week with new protections for tenants. Bree, what have these landlords been up to? What are we worried about here?
I mean, it's basically about evicting people for what feels like no reason, or retaliatory eviction, or I'm sorry, not eviction, retaliatory, not re-signing someone's lease. There's these different ways that people can be displaced, right? And so mm-hmm. this is some legislation that's trying to address the fact that sometimes folks aren't given the option to re-sign a lease and they maybe want to stay in their place.
Okay, yeah.
So for a lot of reasons, right? Like, I don't know, it's a pain to move. Maybe they do like where they're renting, like, but maybe they've had some issues. So that's kind of what this legislation is looking at. So Governor Polis signed this four-cause eviction protections law on Friday, and it was passed last month by the legislature, and it basically gives tenants the first right of refusal to renew their leases. So it aims to keep landlords from doing things like retaliating against renters who may have brought attention to issues in the past. So you're a renter, mm-hmm. I've got leaky pipes, or the heat was off for a really, you know, a long time. And I came to my landlord and said, these are issues that I'm having with this building. Mm-hmm. And this law is basically saying, when that person's lease is up, the landlord has to give them the option to re-sign first if they want. And the idea is to not allow for retaliation against a tenant for maybe complaining about something.
So, interesting.
Yeah, it feels like a little bit of a like backdoor sort of situation, but basically it's just trying to prevent displacement by giving people the option to stay where they are if they want to continue to rent from this landlord.
Well, clearly this must have been an issue. Landlords not declining to give people the option to stay in their homes.
Yes. And I think this is the other thing that the legislation, or at least the legislators were talking about, was people feeling that they're being discriminated against, whether it's because of something like that, like I've made a complaint, like I'm the squeaky wheel and they don't want to deal with me anymore, or some things that are a little bit more subtle, like people experiencing what they feel is sort of a racist retaliation, or someone wanting to clean house on a building, right?
Yeah.
And be like, I want to get everybody out of here because I feel that they're problematic, or I could raise the rent, or so it's just one way. It gives tenants a little bit of a right back that they didn't have before. So the approach is to give them some power because they don't really have any, right?
Interesting. Well, they have some power. They could leave, but I think if you care about a home in that other way, then stopping displacement is its own ends that you might want to pursue. And that seems to be what these lawmakers are doing.
Totally. And again, I mean, yeah, sure, they have the right to, they have the power to leave at any time or whatever. But again, it just gets into the deeper details of what displacement looks like, how it happens, how it affects people, and giving them one little component of this that gives them a little bit of power will probably, in a lot of cases, could keep people housed.
Absolutely.
So that's the end goal, I think.
So what do you make of the politics of this particular bill? This is an interesting one.
Yeah, you know, Representative Javier Mabry was one of the main sponsors of this bill. We've had him on the show before to talk about these issues. This is sort of a cornerstone of his legislative career thus far, right? Is renters' rights. And I know last year he was working on rent control. That was just like an uphill battle.
And that was his first session, I think, because he had just been elected and he was an eviction defense attorney.
Yeah. So he knows this stuff inside and out. And he's really used that experience to inform the legislation he's working on. It was, you know, again, a big part of his platform. And I think with like the rent control idea was so cool and novel, but just felt impossible, mm-hmm. right? Telling people in the free market how they can charge for their units.
Yeah.
That's
the governor was opposed for it.
Right. Exactly.
A lot of the senior Democrats were opposed to it.
Well, and so the governor's opposed to that, but he's supporting this. And
I think
that's interesting too. I don't know if that's a turn on the governor's part or if he's just seeing. I was actually going to kind of ask you, because you've really been paying attention to Polis, like how you see this kind of legislation fitting into his statewide housing approach.
Honestly, that's a good question, because it does seem like the kind of thing that he would be opposed to for the reasons you just said, that it does impose some new barrier to the housing market operating as efficiently as possible. And that seems to be what he is aiming for, solutions that work with the market.
Sure.
And this one, it's not a very big barrier. Like, I don't see this creating a huge distortion in the market, but So maybe that was the argument from Mabry here to Polis, or maybe Polis just wanted to work and compromise. He could see this new further left, more progressive wing of the Democratic Party rising and growing in strength, and maybe he wants to work with people. I could see it coming from a couple of different directions.
Yeah, totally. And I think just giving, like, so this was part of there was a bigger picture thing that that Representative Mabry and some other legislators were working on, and they kind of like took it apart and made this into something else. So it was like not as sweeping as the initial idea was. So it would be, I don't want to say taking more rights away from landlords initially, but this was like a compromise even for them. And I think maybe Polis was just like, okay, I'll meet you at the table with this.
Compromise.
Yeah. And I
think it's supposed to work, right?
Right. And that's what I would say this is also a story about strategy. And I think this is also a story about watching folks newer to the legislature navigating how to get what they want to get done, which is, again, compromising. We love to see it. Mm-hmm. To me, it just makes it, I don't know. It gives me more faith when we can see this kind of stuff working together to make stuff like keeping people housed. Very simple. Very simple. So I don't know. I think it's a win. This is a win to me for the week.
Boom. Landlord watch.
Landlord watch. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, more news. All right. We're back. We've got a story about a little startup that became a big company. I mean, I see their names on the Nuggets jersey, so to me that means it's a big deal. Ibotta.
I think it is. I think it is a big deal.
What's going on with Ibotta, Paul?
So the it's something really big, actually. I mean, this is kind of like, it's not every startup, because some people who run startups will say, like, we just want to continue to be, we want to make our own profits and be a private company. That's how we want to do things.
Sure.
But for a lot of people who start a startup, what they dream of doing someday is going public. And that means selling shares of your company on one of these stock exchanges. And the folks at Ibotta, who was founded right here in Denver, has always been right here in Denver, they did that on Thursday at the New York Stock Exchange. Brian Leach, the CEO and founder, I think he was there. I don't know if he got to ring the bell. That's considered quite an honor to ring the bell to open the stock exchange.
Yeah.
And this is kind of an exciting moment. And then it turned out to be a huge hit on the trading floor. The stock price soared on its first day. And now, according to the AP, Ibotta, this Denver company, this Denver success story, has a market value of over $3 billion.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. That is a good Denver story.
Yeah. Does it feel like a Denver story?
I mean, this is something that I've learned in doing this show. When we talk to folks that work on bigger issues across the state. I'm thinking about when we talk to the demographer even. Mm-hmm. Tech is a presence here. So I don't have a lot of direct connections to it. I have a couple friends that work in it, but it has just become clearer and clearer to me that this is something about us. This is something about Colorado that works here, that people like, that now folks identify with.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of the next era, just the way that other economic booms and things have, you know, I don't know, identified who we are to the rest of the world. So interesting stuff.
I don't know if I agree. You have no connection to this, because this, as we were talking, you know, Ibotta is an e-coupon company. That's retail.
It is retail.
You're kind of a Denver retail expert, I would say.
Oh my God. Coupons.
Yeah.
Just the bane of everyone's existence as a retailer. I have to say, okay, so I used Ibotta briefly.
Oh.
And I've just found it so annoying that I have to like play a game, essentially, for companies I'm already spending money at to get, quote, like, loyalty to play into their... It was just, like, so... I hate it.
It's okay? Like a loyalty program? Like a digital loyalty program?
Yeah,
or how
it,
does
like,
it work?
Connects with large companies, and you when you spend money in certain places on certain things, you get money back. But if I recall correctly, maybe it's been updated. This was a couple years ago. You had to like look through your receipts and like sometimes scan receipts. And it was just like, to me, if you're like a coupon clipper, if this is like a thing that you like to do, it's probably great. And I just found it just tedious. And like, I'm already spending money at your company. Just give me a discount or don't. You know what I mean? It just felt rude.
Interesting.
To me. So
I know people who are like that though.
Like
and
coupon.
Would get into it. Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's the thing is I don't want to downplay folks that are into that. My old roommate Ruben was the one that turned me on to Ibotta and he loves it. But he's really good at loyalty program stuff. He always jokes like, I don't make that much money, but I like to like see the world. So he does every loyalty program at every restaurant, at every hotel, at every store that he can. And he really kind of, he games it so that he gets free, and not games it. He knows how to play it. So he gets free stuff. And that's how he like travels and
he's
stays
my hero.
In, he, this I is, mean, honestly,
this is the way to live, I think.
It really is. Like, I admire him. It's not a way I could live, but he's like, he's so good at it. So I definitely, there's tons. I mean, there's a show. There was that show. Remember Extreme Couponers? Like, people, people love deals. It's part of shopping. I know this as someone that had to take people's coupons working in retail for a long time. I think partially I worked in retail for a long time. And if you are making me do a bunch of stuff just to get a better deal on the thing from you I'm already trying to buy, I'm annoyed. So
maybe the digital version is easier for employees.
Yeah, maybe I should.
Maybe it's all automated. That
would be nice for the retail employees for sure. Anything to make their lives easier personally, I'm all about. So I may have to try Ibotta again because clearly I'm in the minority.
Ibotta, big success this week. We'll be watching to see what happens now that they're publicly traded. I'll probably keep an eye on that stock price just in case something weird happens.
Maybe I'll try it again. We'll see.
I'm kind of curious now. I want Ruben's tips.
I know we should. I'll see next time Ruben's in town. I'll see if we can get Ruben's tips for how to have fun on the cheap in Colorado.
Yes.
He's the guy.
Perfect.
We're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, we hear from you, our dear listeners. And we're back. We always love to hear from you, our brilliant and hilarious listeners, about what you're feeling, seeing, thinking. I don't know. Maybe you have a strong opinion about a strong opinion we had on the show in the last couple of weeks. So we've got a voicemail from one of our dear listeners.
This is Brittany from Park Hill. And I'm wondering when Denver is going to make a true attempt at bringing a women's professional sports team to the city. There was a failed bid for a WNBA expansion team, and there is a group organizing to bring an NWSL team. But when's it going to happen? When's the city going to start taking this seriously?
We talked about this before, right, Paul? There was...
Interesting question, yeah.
A couple of months ago, there were some folks kind of with money sniffing around, right?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Brittany. I did.
Yeah,
I remember the same thing, Bree. I looked this up. There was some reporting from, I think it was last year, maybe the year before, from the Denver Post and Axios Denver and the like. And but what happened was that the WNBA has been thinking about expanding recently, and they sent a group of execs here to Denver to scope out some venues. Because that's a really important thing that a team would need to be successful. And honestly, side note, but there's a great documentary out right now on ESPN Plus about Joe Sakic and how his early career, like contract dealings and the early Avalanche, like coincided with the construction of what became the Pepsi Center. It was all about Sakic and this potential deal he had with the Rangers. And then the Avalanche had to match it, which put they had to raise a bunch of money. And then there's Harrison Ford is involved in a weird way. It's a crazy documentary. Wellington Webb is in it.
Interesting.
It just premiered like a week ago.
We're
not talking about this.
But that's the economics of sports, is it's much more complicated than just like, we want a team. Right?
Exactly.
The conditions have to be right.
Yeah. And so what happened was they toured. We know that they came to meet with a few people, including Robert Cohen of IMA Financial, who's either at the chair or the former chair of the Downtown Denver Partnership. He's one of these downtown boosters, like successful business leaders in the community, been that way for a long time. He was one of the folks who led the effort to have the Olympics come back to Denver. Back like 5-6 years ago, he was like the main guy. He's a big Olympics lover. He was on our show a couple of years ago. I talked to him about that. So he was among a group that invited the WNBA to come visit two venues here in Denver.
Where?
Ball Arena.
Okay.
And Magnus Arena.
That's what I was thinking.
At DU.
Uh-huh. Sure.
And both are kind of interesting, and they kind of show the quandary that I think that those folks are all looking at right now with the WNBA.
How do you mean?
Well, the WNBA is having this moment of popularity around Caitlin Clark and this Iowa star joining.
Yes.
And like, I think they had some huge viewership jump for
it
their
was
draft.
Huge. They were playing it at my gym.
You were watching. You watched the draft,
right? I watched the draft. They were playing it at Planet Fitness.
Had you ever done that before? A WNBA draft?
No, I had never even seen it like on TV.
Yeah, it's having a clear moment of popularity.
Which is awesome.
So they're thinking about expanding. There's a lot of new attention, which means new money. But they came to visit Denver, and they decided, I think, that it was not right at that moment because they chose a different city at that time, the last round when they were talking about expansion. And so something about those venues, maybe Ball Arena is too big.
I was thinking Ball Arena would be too big. That's why I thought Magnus would make sense. But yeah,
maybe Magnus too small.
Right. Right.
Or Magnus not right in some other way. You know, a WNBA team, that's a big demand on an arena. Like,
too
is
bad
that the
we're
best
knocking
way?
Down First Bank. Maybe that would have been it. Maybe that would have been the golden thing that happened to that venue that they built 15 years ago and are already knocking down.
That's so funny that they did that.
Wild. But the venue thing is a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, do we want a team? Could we support a team? You know, do we have fan base for it? Do the economics work? Do we have a place for them?
Yeah. Do we have a place? And then that also plays into like, does the money work? Because if you have them in Ball Arena, there's a lot of costs operated with a running Ball Arena for a night. And like, are you going to recoup that with the kind of ticket sales you're going to do for WNBA? And that's the unknown.
Yeah. That makes sense. Well, maybe this will change. I mean, it might be one of those things that that visit was right before the tipping point.
Yeah.
And now
they're taking another look.
Yep.
I think so.
That would be, I mean, what's wrong with another sports team? A lot of our sports teams are new within the last couple of decades. So to me, we're building up to something like this. We're showing that our teams are good, except for the Rockies. And, I mean, even our college teams, there's some great stories happening there. So I could see where it's like Colorado, Denver is prime for that. Also, we're a party city that loves to celebrate all kinds of things. Why not add a WNBA team to that? So it should be interesting.
But do you think you'd go?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I feel like I would go.
Basketball is something I've gotten into in the last couple of years, but I understand it more than other sports. And I think it would be super fun. Again, also raising a kid in the city. I love being able to show him different aspects of things. And if we got to have a WNBA team, to me, that could be just as exciting as going to see a Nuggets game at some point for him. So I love it. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
Could be good.
Well, we'll be watching that story.
Well, last time we talked about this, I think we put out a call for asking for what the name of the team should be, which is the most fun part of any new franchise, honestly. There's a whole thing happening in Utah right now with the NHL we're not going to talk about.
And Paul's obsessed with it. But if you want to talk to Paul about it,
you should hit him up. That too.
Because he wants to talk to somebody about it.
So what should the WNBA team in Denver be called? The Nuggets. I think that was the best one. The Nuggets.
Yeah, but that's like playing into this like sexist notion that women's teams are only like a subpar version of the men's team.
Okay. Well, you know we need a better one. We need a better one then.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if we want to continue with the like gold mining references. That feels very old Denver to me. What would be new? What would epitomize new Denver in a team name?
The Cliff Divers.
Oh, yeah. I guess you can't really be the Tokers or something. I don't know.
Listeners, call in, help us. We need an answer.
You guys gotta know something better because clearly Paul and I do not have a clue. There's a whole people do this for a living, Paul.
Yeah.
So if you're in marketing, you've gotta know.
Let us know. 720-500-5418. That's the line to call. Text, leave us a voicemail.
Name your WNBA team, Denver team hotline. 720-500-5418. Well, thanks, Paul.
See you next time.
That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. If you enjoyed this show, why not take a minute to tell Rockies hitting coach Hensley Mullins about us? Rate the show wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to our morning newsletter and learn more about us at denver.citycast.fm. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. See ya! We were joking the other day that Jokic is just going to retire and just move directly back home and, you know, live on his compound with his horses and his wife. Although his daughter's going to be American in spirit. And I wonder if she's going to be like, I'm not going back there. You don't even have a mall. I mean, to my point, every time I go to the mall, it is full of teenagers.